Take it off, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note for the love that's.
And welcome to the Sarcastic News Show. My name is Justin Cross, and I am glad to be with you. Excited to be here live at the Skid Row Studios in the heart of LA's street pharmacy district. I am here with the Sarcastic News crew right now. I've got Jake the Snake Craney straight across. I got Michael Lorenzo Porter. And joining us tonight, special guests, Kevin Cook and Paul McCray, a couple friends of mine who are fellow runners and were also in Boston running and watching the marathon on Monday.
A lot of dudes tonight, the real sausage fest in here.
It's going to be, yeah, and actually we got one other guy, Michael Clifford, good friend of mine, had a little bout with the LA Dodgers, so he's gonna join us as well. Yeah, I want to go ahead though. I want to start the show. I mean, we're a few days after what happened on Monday, but I think it's appropriate to start the show, you know, a certain way because there was a huge tragedy this week, and Boston was pretty close to me. I ran the marathon back in 2012 last year. And it was very special for me. I grew up running in high school. I grew up running in college, you know, ran in college competitively. And, also, you know, Boston, it was the one event where I swear to God, it felt like I was a real athlete for once. I really did. Because the whole time, the whole way, there's just so much build up to it. And there are people along the streets the whole way cheering you on. And you feel like you're a star. Unfortunately, the year I ran it, I got offered a popsicle. I was running so slow. But I want to play something that you guys may have heard on a lot of the sports shows earlier this morning or late last night. This is the national anthem that was played at the Boston Bruins game on Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join together and sing loudly with Rene Rancourt as he performs tonight's national anthem. Representing all of Boston's first responders, please welcome the Boston Fire Department Honor Guard to present tonight's colors.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so bright?
With that, I am glad you guys are tuning in. That was, by the way, that was courtesy of NBC, and that was in Boston, the Boston Bruins game. With that, guys, I am glad you guys are tuning in tonight. This is our third show, and albeit it's just our third show, it's going to be the best goddamn show we've ever had tonight.
It's going to be top three. I'm going to say that right now.
It's going to be the best. I'm not kidding around right now. What happened this past week was terrible, and personally, it was more personal than some of the other tragedies. It just was. But we're gonna have a great show tonight. We're going to follow Boston's lead, hell of a city. And I absolutely mean that. We are going to push, we're going to use this to inspire us. And every single show, we're going to push ourselves harder, and I'm going to push myself harder to make it better and better and better until this is the best goddamn show you've witnessed on the internet since the first time you ever saw a Harlem Shake video. but as we have the last couple shows, we are going to begin tonight by talking about North Korea, NOKO. Now, you're probably sitting there going, there's probably not much news this week, and you're right. All I know is that, the world has 99 problems, and Kim Jong ain't one of them. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
I really worked on that one.
Wow.
We can only go up from there. On Wednesday, the White House campaign to tighten federal restrictions on firearms ran into a wall of Republican opposition and Democratic ambivalence when the Senate blocked a vote on background checks. They blocked a vote on background checks, while the NRA and gun lobbyist groups, along with the Tea Party, have made a huge impact on the opposition to gun control in the Republican Party. Democrats have been reluctant to push back against gun advocates because, and this is a quote actually from a Democrat, it says, the Democrats are gigantic pussies. Not surprisingly, this whole thing is led by a guy from Nevada named Harry. That's Harry Reid. And it's been widely reported that Democrats were reluctant to push the pace on this, to really push people and push this vote, because they maintain a 55-45 senatorial lead over Republicans. So they basically didn't want to rock the vote. And what I want to know is, like, what's the goddamn point of having a majority if you're not going to do anything with it? You know, it's like having a lot of money in your checking account but never buying or investing in anything. You know, I feel like the Democratic leadership, they won't even put money, like, they could be at a credit union and the credit union could offer them like a low interest CD and they're like, nope. Don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to rock the boat there. Moving on. Paul Kevin Curtis, a 45-year-old Mississippi man, was apprehended for sending a letter with the lethal substance ricin to Senator from Mississippi Roger Wicker and President Obama. The letters were cut off at government screening centers. One thing that wasn't cut off is the fact that Kevin Curtis is an Elvis impersonator. And you may have seen the YouTube videos already, but if you haven't, he's not just an Elvis impersonator. He's a 7-time finalist in the Images of the King contest in Memphis. Wow. Even better, Kevin Curtis does other musical impressions that include Kid Rock, Bon Jovi, and Prince. Now, here's the suspect, Paul Kevin Casey, doing a tribute to Prince. I'm not kidding. In a high school classroom with teenagers in it. Here it is.
How y'all doing? Man, you're my revolution.
Guess you know that way you brought your cuz that way. They don't hold my hands. See, you're the kind of person who leaves and make a night once. Love them and leave them points. Must be dumb. Should a pocket full of horses, Trojan some abuse. But it was Saturday night. Guess it makes it all right. You say, what have I got to lose? I say, little red Corvette. Baby, you're much too fast. Little red Corvette. We just find another. It's gonna.
He's not bad.
Do we have his address so that I can send him a fan letter laced with ricin?
that's courtesy of Philly.com. Now, I don't know. If this guy is not the person who did this, I am very sorry, okay?
As am I for that last comment.
However, if he is the guy who did this, then I feel like spreading this YouTube clip throughout the internet could be a harsher punishment than life in prison right there.
That's true.
Oh, my God. And in sports, in a more, I guess you could say more of a, yeah, definitely, more of a positive sporting news. The first pick in the WNBA draft, Brittany Griner from Baylor, came out this week that she's gay. And I guess she realized that after dating Robert Griffin III, not every guy looked like her. Now, in a group interview with SI.com with Sports Illustrated, Griner was asked why it's easier for female athletes to come out versus male athletes. In response, Griner said, I really couldn't give an answer on why that's so different, she said. Being one that's out, it's just being who you are. Again, like I said, just be who you are. Wow. Like, to me, first of all, that's awesome, and she's awesome. Second of all, I just think this proves that even in the LGBT community, women are still a hell of a lot stronger than men. On that note, we're going to be right back. We got to call. All right. All right. We'll pick them up when we come back from break. All I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater. Let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds, but my gravity centered. Touch my neck and I'll touch yours. You and we're back here on the Sarcastic News Show. Guys, you can catch us, by the way, on sarcastic-news.com. You can also go to twitter.com/sarcasticnews1 or facebook.com/sarcasticnews1. You can call in 800-893-9562 as well. Call into the show, 800-893-9562. And then you can also you can go to Skid Row Studios. That's www.skidrowstudios.com. You can catch us on there. We're live right now, of course, but you can catch the podcast or the stream, and you can also go to iTunes, Sarcastic News. Our first guest of the night joins us. He's a good friend of mine. He's also a huge LA Dodgers fan, and the reason why his story is interesting is he did some Twittering last night to @Dodgers and had a little back and forth with them. Are we ready? We got Clifford on the line.
Yeah, Justin, I'm here. How's it going?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good. Hey, I love that rendition of Little Red Corvette you just sang for us. That was great.
You should have seen the live performance in the studio. It was captivating.
I wish I could have. I Justin, you know, he's always trying to pass it off as somebody else is doing, but he's a real modest fellow.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Who sent Ryson to a governor this week or a senator? Now, Cliff, I got to ask you here. Tell us, I kind of introduced it a little bit. I know that you're a huge Dodgers fan, and last night you were talking with the Dodgers over Twitter. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I've been a Dodgers fan my entire life. I bleed Dodger blue, and growing up, I've always listened to them on the radio, listened to Vince Scully, Rick Monday, and always watched them on television. And I always tend to get a little heated, you know, being a Dodgers fan, it's full of ups and downs. You always hold on to what happened 25 years ago. And the World Series, and we're waiting for it to happen again. But, you know, listening to him on watching him on television, I'm always kind of casually yelling back and forth. And, you know, last night something interesting happened because as I always yell at the TV, my wife always asks me, you know, why do you yell? They can't hear you. Well, I also participate in the social media, and the Dodgers have been, you know, tweeting. They do kind of live feeds of the ups and downs of the games. And just to give you a little color of what happened, they played the San Diego Padres, and the Padres entered this series in Los Angeles.
I don't know why you have to bring the race card into this, but go ahead.
They they came in 2-10, so they're not a great team, the last place in the West, and the Dodgers came in 7-5. And it was supposed to be a strong series for the Dodgers, leaving for Baltimore. And what happened was the Padres hit our star starter last night quite early, Clayton Kershaw, and it wasn't good, and rather quickly it became 5-1. Mm-hmm. Well, as I'm watching the game, I pulled up Twitter, and the at Dodgers Twitter social media team posts, on consecutive nights, the Elements rob Carl Crawford of a home run. Dodgers trail 5-1 at the end of 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, the night before, it was quite windy in Los Angeles, and hitting a ball that would have usually gone over the wall did not.
Mm-hmm.
Last night wasn't the case. The flags in the outfield were hanging, you know, pretty much perpendicular with their poles. It was not a windy night at all. So I participated in, you know, a little tweeting back, not expecting a reply, and I called him out. I said those outfield flags are hanging completely still. Magic Johnson and company didn't pay for excuses. You know, we are a brand new team, brand new ownership, new hitting coach, new players, a big payroll, a lot of weight on the shoulders of the LA Dodgers, and the fans are being promised a new blue.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, I let it go, and rather quickly, I got a reply via Twitter that I didn't expect, and it was from the Dodgers. And they said, Cliffhome, my Twitter handle, it is nighttime in April. Cool, dense air slows the speed of the baseball. Hashtag science.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's kind of like a period slash boom moment.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
So
not only is this new blue social media team, you know, interact with their fans, but they also, you know, when they find a moment to patronize their fans, they are jumping on
it. They're sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you believe that?
We may have to hire him on Sarcastic News, actually. That was hashtag science.
Yeah, well, I think that would be great. You know, the hashtag science was just a moment of, you know, like, wow. You know, I wish I had studied science a little more in school so I could have, you know, grown up to be an engineer or something.
They should have done a double hat, like hashtag science, hashtag fuck you, Cliff, you know?
Yeah, that's really, like, the hashtag science I read is a hashtag fuck you, Cliff.
Yeah.
But just, you know, I want to call out that the cool and dense air that, you know, can slow the speed of a baseball down didn't seem to be a problem for the Padres as they, you know, went on to beat us 7-2 last night and complete a 3-game sweep.
Oh,
so, you know, now the Dodgers are headed, well, they're in Baltimore now. They left last night, and they're going to play some heavy-hitting American League East teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully the air out there in Baltimore isn't too cool and dense because, you know, apparently our hitters can't handle it, as called out by the Dodgers team.
Now, I got real quick, we just have a few seconds left, Cliff, but did this get picked up by any other major news or sports outlets such as ourselves?
So besides Sarcastic News, which has given me a lot of traffic to my site, I actually had to bring it offline to increase the server capacity today for Sarcastic News. I got a lot of fan support from local Dodger fans, and I was actually picked up. So I'm a celebrity in San Diego now. Mm-hmm. San Diego Padres fans love me for, you know, calling out my own team.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a radio show in San Diego, an AM radio show, that retweeted me. The handle escapes me at the moment, but it has gotten some Twitter attention.
Okay. And to check out your website, your blog. Well, are you a blogger? Would you call yourself a blogger, Cliff?
I would call myself a blogger. Yes,
okay.
I am. I'm involved. I do have a new blog just for this one instance, but it's going to be an ongoing thing about the science of baseball and the teams that can defy it.
And it's is that Cool Dense Air? .tumblr.com, is that right?
You can actually reach it at cooldenseair.com now.
cooldenseair.com, and that's hashtag Google AdWords.
Yes, hashtag Google AdWords.
Hashtag dick. All right.
Yeah, hashtag advertising, hashtag science.
Cliff,
hey guys, thanks for having me. The show is great. I've been a long-time listener and a long-time fan.
First time, long time. I like it.
Yes.
Cliff, thanks a lot for joining us. I'll see you at work tomorrow.
All right, guys.
Godspeed. That's Michael Clifford. You can check out his website, cooldenseair.com, and we will be right back right here on the Sarcastic News Show.
On set.
was that? Who was
that? That was a local LA band called Cayucas.
Cayucas.
Actually just did an interview with them on groundsounds.com.
Groundsounds. All music, or most music tonight, brought to you by groundsounds.com. Where are they from, Snake?
Absolutely. They're actually from Santa Monica. Yeah. And the guy went to college in San Luis Obispo, and the name Cayucas is actually a town just north of Big Sur on the coast.
Wow. Tough life that guy lived, man. That's a nice life.
Real rough.
All right. Now, joining us are our next guests. Very excited about this guy. He's a good friend of mine, a guy that I ran with back in college at Florida State University. He's now located in North Carolina. Kevin, you with us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Kevin Cook. Kevin Cook. We got Kevin Cook in the house. How's it going, man?
What's going on, guys? Long time no talk.
I know. This is how we do it. This is how I reunite with all the my former friends here. I do it live over the internet. Radio.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you reaching out to me, man.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a call and reaching out to us. Now, you were in Boston at the time on Monday, and take us through.
I was there for work. My current job had me, up there working the Boston Expo and working the marathon and whatnot, and. I was down there at the finish line. I had VIP passes, and I was down at the finish line. And, luckily I wasn't there at the time of the incident, but I definitely heard both of the explosions go off. And it was pretty crazy at the time, yeah.
That's crazy. That seems just surreal. I mean, obviously we all kind of from a distance know that it had to be a surreal experience. It had to be a pretty crazy and traumatic experience. But In your own words, and I mean, can you just kind of describe the situation around you?
Yeah. So luckily, I had a flight at 6:45, and so I was with coworkers, and we were kind of discussing what we should do. Should we go back to watch the finish line? Should we chill in the hotel? We came to the conclusion that we should just get to the airport because we want to beat all the traffic and all the racers finishing. Mm-hmm. So. We get in this cab, and which turned out to be a van. And as soon as we get in, we hear this explosion. We all look around. We're like, "What is going on?" "What was that?" We were like, "Is that a subway? Was that a circuit breaker?" We didn't know, you know. And then 12 seconds later, I guess it was. We hear another loud explosion, and the cab driver's like, "Man, that's an explosion. Like that's a bomb that went off." And then all of a sudden, you just see like. Cops flying in, ambulances flying in. You see people like running around like crazy, like screaming and like looking up at the sky. And we're just like, we got to get out of here. And so the cab driver just like floors it. Like we're going on this like one lane road and it just like takes off. And it was literally, I felt like I was in a movie, man. It was crazy.
Wow. Were you pretty sure at the time what it was? Or did you think that's what it was?
I mean, the first one, it was kind of, because it was a little bit further away. We were like a couple blocks away when it went off, and the other one, we were a little bit closer. So the second one was a little bit louder. The second one, I've never been around explosions like that, but I, just from movies and stuff, and the looks on people's faces around me and people, the way they were running, I was like, that had to have been a bomb. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of just tell, like, looks on people's faces. Mm-hmm. And, just people, like, my coworkers, like, who we were with, they just immediately started calling, like, friends and family and looking on Twitter, and we saw photos and, like, just started getting, like, sick to their stomach. So it was a weird experience for sure.
That's crazy, man. I know you guys were kind of on your way out, but what were people around you doing? What were they saying? I mean, I know you were at the airport, obviously, when, you were around the news, at the airport, like what was going on, around you in Boston at the time, even when you're at the airport?
As soon as I got to the airport, I was the first one to get dropped off, and I didn't really see my coworkers, so I was just kind of at the airport by myself. And, I wasn't really sure if I was able to fly out, and, as everyone's saying, like, on the news, Boston, sort of came together in a way, at least that's how I found it, like, in there. Everyone was, like, talking to me and talking about the incident and, overhearing conversations and showing photos and talking about the races. And so everyone at the airport was, like, freaked out a little bit, but was open to talk about it. I mean, I made a lot of friends just in line, waiting to go through go through screening and stuff like that. So it was, everyone was, yeah, I mean, everyone felt like they were together, but, you know, just a little cautious and freaked out and kind of just nervous if we were going to fly out. And kind of a side story, while I was at the airport, all of a sudden they moved me to another gate and the power went off. And so, like, everyone started freaking out and screaming. They're like, why did the power go out? And the next thing you know, you see bomb squad with a sniffing dog going around.
Wow.
Everyone was kind of on nerves at that point as well. So.
Wow. Kev, after you learned what it was and after the shock kind of wore off, what were you guys feeling? Were you more like scared, or were you like, wow, we really dodged a crisis there? Or were you angry? I personally had a lot of feelings of anger after that, after, you know, we kind of found out what was going on. What were you like, you know, kind of at the scene?
I mean, yeah, at first I just felt lucky because, you know, the initial reports show that, or someone claimed that they found a bomb, like, underneath the bleachers where I was sitting. So I was like, crap, man. Like, I was watching the Boston Marathon, and there was a bomb sitting underneath me this entire time, you know?
Wow, yeah.
But later, you know, we found out that that wasn't true, and it's, you know, two guys with a backpack. So at first I was kind of just like, wow, I'm lucky, you know, to be here. And, you know, all the emails and texts and Facebook messages, you know, yeah, I mean, I was really appreciative of all that. I mean, so many people reaching out, people I haven't heard from in years, you know, reaching out and, you know, saying, like, glad you're okay. So I was more just, like, thankful. But, you know, now as time's worn on and, you know, looking more at CNN and, like, the news, I'm getting more, like, angry and, you know, trying to, you know, catch this guy. Because, I mean, I took a bunch of photos, you know, at the finish line just for my own self and, you know, finisher. So I went through them numerous times and, you know, see if I saw, you know, looking to see if I saw anything. I emailed CNN a couple different photos, but I mean, I doubt they're helpful at all. But, you know, I emailed them just, you know, trying to do my best, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's insane, man. I mean, that was kind of the last thing I wanted to ask you. But I mean, let me ask you this. You know, I know you said you're starting to kind of, at this point, you feel angry. And I know you were up there, what exactly do you do? I know you work for a running store, running company, is that right? Or what exactly?
Yeah, I currently work for Adidas Running.
Okay, and let me ask you this. You know, do you think that you'll be up there next year at the race?
Yeah, definitely. And just to show how close Team Adidas is with all the reps, we have a group text messaging, and we're all saying all in for Boston next year, and we're talking about who's going to run it next year and how we're going to qualify. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely coming back, you know, going to be stronger, and we're all going to try and run Boston next year for sure.
That's cool.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'll be seeing you there. So,
yeah, man, Kevin, that'd be awesome.
Thanks so much, man. I got to catch up with you at another point when we're not talking about this, but thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story.
Yeah, man, no problem. I appreciate you having me in, and I love the show. I know this is the third episode, but as you said in the beginning of the show, this is going to be the best one yet. I can feel it, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for making it that way. Cool. All right.
Yeah, man, we'll have a great rest of the show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. That's Kevin Cook. He's a rep for Adidas, at the Boston Marathon, sitting literally right across in the bleachers, right around the time when the bomb went off. He was just a couple blocks away. We're going to be right back here on the Sarcastic News Show.
Left.
And we're back here on the Sarcastic News Show. Wow. That was serious stuff. Some serious stuff from Kevin Cook. I really appreciate him joining us. We've got Paul McCray, who's also participating in the Boston Marathon as well, coming up. But we're going to lighten it up for a minute. We're going to play, it was funny, right before I came on here, I go, Snake, what do we want to call this segment? Like, we hadn't come up with a name before, and I was like, it's 90s, and it's music. He's like, call it the 90s music show. So, here's Jake the Snake
Cranny. I don't know what to say.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff, Snake. 90s music show, Jake the Snake Cranny, take it away.
All right, so yeah, like you said, we're going to lighten things up. It's the 90s music game, fellas. So, I mean, I haven't compiled big bands, like big 90s bands like Nirvana and Tool and Goo Goo Dolls even. This is more like the one-hit wonder bands, kind of the more, the funnier bands like your Dishwalla and your Blind Melon. I know Crossy.
Oh, the Wet Sprocket?
Yeah. You'll hear from them. So basically what I've done is I put together five different song clips from 90s bands. And you guys are going to try to guess the name of the band. So what's worked best when we played similar games in the past is that I'm going to have you guys write down your answers, either A, B, or C. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take a quick little break and I'll tally up the votes. And that way people at home, the massive throng of people at home can play as well.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
Are we prepared? Are we prepared? Porter, you got your paper?
I think you guys are
Here, Porter, we're going to rip it.
Staples does sponsor this show, doesn't it?
All right, we're ready. Snake.
So first clip, here we go.
I'm pumped about this.
We're going to play about 40 seconds of each clip, and then you guys are going to guess the band. Don't say it out loud.
I'm excited.
Okay. Marcy Playground. Oh, no. Ask Twitter what this is.
Like, over there cheating while the song's
no,
going.
No, he's
on.
Not. He's not. It's funny. It's going, what's happening? Like the Twitter thing says,
tweeting, guys.
It says, what's happening? I'm ready for him to just be like, I don't know what the fuck is happening right now.
So those are the type of 90s classics that you're going to hear tonight. So that was the first song. Here are your choices. And don't say what you're doing. Just write it down and we'll just run through it. So was that A, Everclear, B, Harvey Danger, or C, Better Than Ezra? Okay, write in your answers. Let's get song two going right away.
So we're not yelling them out. We're writing.
No, you're just writing them down. I'm gonna tally them at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go right into song two.
Let's do it.
Cross, you're gonna love it. Startlingly similar singing voice to our own Justin Cross, if you didn't know.
That doesn't sound like a small girl.
All right, was that A, Toad the Wet Sprocket, B, Soul Asylum, or C, 7 Mary 3?
Ooh, these are tough, Snake. I'm not having so much fun.
Okay, good. I was worried this was going to be an easy game. It might be for Cross. We'll find out at the end. All right. Get in those.
Has anyone ever gotten a perfect score? I'm going to get a 1600 on them. I'm going to ace my.
Considering this is the first edition of this, no one's ever gotten it. All right, clip number three. Let's rock and roll.
Love sat alone in a boggy marsh, totally motionless except for
just keep that going?
Yeah, can we just play that out?
She's up. She's in my head. I don't even need a choice in that.
All right.
Actually, well, no, I do. I do need a choice.
Can we hear the choices anyway?
Of course. All right. Was that A, primitive radio gods, B, presidents of the United States of America, or C, Smash Mouth?
Ooh. Wow, I actually got that wrong.
Okay.
But now I know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, clip number four. We got two more to go. Here we go, clip number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording for Blue Note Records.
Like 10 again. This is great.
I have no idea. Wait Michael Jackson.
Was that A, Us Three, B, EMF, or C, CNC Music Factory?
Okay,
write down an answer. We are on to the final classic 90s clip, and this is actually one of my favorite 90s songs of all time. Let's let this rain down upon us with gloriousness.
Do it.
To that song. That's very, very touching.
It's a great song.
Days go by.
Absolutely. All right. So was that A, Sean Colvin, B, Lisa Loeb, or C, Sophie B. Hawkins? All right. So let's tally up the votes. While I am compiling a winner between the two of you fine gentlemen, we will listen to another classic tune from the 90s.
Mention real quick that during that whole game, Porter was blocking me from like...
I know, he was doing like the elementary school like block out.
I was waiting for him to put a folder up in between us like we're doing a spelling test.
Exactly. I'm a competitive SOB.
All right, well, I'm glad to announce that neither of you got all of them right, so at least something was challenging, and I'm glad to announce that we do have a winner. So let's go through real quick, question by question. The first clip, you both answered B, Harvey Danger, and you were both correct. Okay,
yeah.
I knew that was going to be a kind of an easier one. Classic song. Number two, Justin Cross answered 7, Mary 3. Porter, after initially writing in his own answer of Stone Temple Pilots, changed his answer to B, Soul Asylum.
Like Michael Porter chose Texas with a dollar sign.
That one was, in fact, 7 Mary 3.
Oh, God.
Nice. So question number three. Both of you chose presidents of the United States of America with lump, and you were both correct.
I like it, but I just have to announce, back in the back there, Nick is nodding his head. He's like, yeah, 7 Mary 3, motherfucker. Yeah, I know that shit.
I remember all that shit for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All of it.
Question number four, Justin Cross wrote CNC Music Factory. And Porter wrote Us Three, and Michael Porter comes out on top with that one. That was Us Three.
So are we tied right now?
You are
tied.
Ooh. You are tied coming into the last question.
Oh,
Justin
man.
Cross wrote Sophie B. Hawkins, and Michael Porter wrote Sean Colvin, which gives me the pleasure of awarding this week's 90s game winner to Michael Porter.
What the hell? How did I lose?
Sean Colvin.
How did I lose?
Who is
that?
Sophie B. Hawkins?
I don't know.
What? How do you not know Sophie?
She wrote some song in the 90s as well. I did some research on this for 45 seconds.
I'm so embarrassed right now. How do I lose that? I love the 90s. I
know.
Nothing now.
I am surprised you lost, Cross.
I'm going to have to go take up hardcore rap.
Can you point out that I thought Bush was the correct answer for the lump song?
Oh, you thought that was Bush?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, man.
Way off.
All right, gentlemen. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to be back right now with our final guest tonight, Paul McCray. Quick break. We'll be right back. We're back on the Sarcastic News Show. Jake the Snake, who was that? Actually?
That was Boy, capital B-O-Y.
Oh, okay. All right, and joining us, another guest, another friend of mine, another runner who was in Boston at the time. He's the head coach of Personal Running Solutions in Jacksonville, Florida. Paul McCray joining us. Paul, you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yes. Good. You're joining us via the Jack in the Box Hot Mess phone line, actually.
Nice. I love Jack in the Box. You can't get it down here in Jacksonville.
And you don't have that? Oh, man.
No.
You know, it's funny. They actually call Hardee's is on the East Coast, and they call it Carl's Jr. out here. It's the same exact restaurant.
But they're both equally disgusting.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So Paul, obviously this is a heavy subject. We've kind of tried to blend up the show a little bit. You were in Boston for the marathon. You ran the marathon, is that right?
Yes, I did. And I didn't run to run fast. I ran with one of my runners. So,
When did you and your runner cross the finish line?
We crossed a little over 3 hours and 12 minutes, and then kind of proceeded. They kind of rushed us, as most races do. Kind of rushed you for the through the finish to get water and everything. Mm-hmm. We got our bags, and then usually I would turn around because I had probably 20, 21 people running Boston this year. So I would go back and kind of cheer people in. But this year, it was actually cold, believe it or not. And so I decided on a whim to get back to the hotel and shower up. So I'd actually left. And then before I knew it, you know, got out of the shower, I got dressed, and my phone was going crazy.
Wow!
When I found out, so.
And you had a lot of runners out still in the course, right?
Yeah, I had you know, I had 15 that kind of finished before the two bombs went off. And then, obviously, I still had probably another three out there on the course that were obviously stopped. One guy was, you know, at the 21-mile mark, and then there's another couple that were pretty close to finishing, probably within 10 minutes.
Wow.
So.
Wow. And everybody's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone from Jacksonville that I kind of took up are okay. So I thank God for that. But, you know, I'm still, you know, it's still a shock, and I feel awful for the, you know, for the people who were injured, and obviously the families who lost loved ones. So.
And yeah. how do you, how have your feelings changed from the time it happened, being so close to it and having, you know, your runners so close to it. How do you feel now?
You know, I'm the type of guy who could probably qualify for Boston, you know, pretty much every year if I really wanted to. And this was the first time that I'd even decided that I was going to go. And the main reason, you know, was that I had 20 people kind of qualify within the last year and kind of got in. And so it was a bigger deal this year already for me to kind of get up there and do it. And, you know, after experiencing, you know, the race and how many people come out and watch and just the history, I mean, this year was the 117th running of it, and, you know, just how many people come and line the course. I mean, it wasn't just never a dull moment.
It's amazing.
And then, you know, to cross the finish line and then something as beautiful and awful like this to happen, you know, just makes me want to get back there, you know, almost every year from now on and just prove to these people. It looks like there's two people that have kind of been, who want to be arrested for questioning, that, you know, just prove to them that even though they tried to deter people and, you know, keep people from coming back. I mean, you know, if anything, it's just made me and everyone that I am close to in the running circle just want to get there and compete even more.
Like you said, it's amazing. I ran the race for the first time last year, and it, to me, and it was really hot out there on the course, and
yeah,
I had a pretty crappy race. But it didn't matter because to me what was and I, you know, I'm a very competitive guy. I, you know, ran in college, yeah, and everything. But like you said, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing when you're running the course and you find people lined the whole way, way. You truly feel. I was telling at the top of the show, I was saying that it's like you're a real, you know, major athlete. For one, yeah, moment, and it doesn't matter how big of a race you've run. There's nothing bigger than Boston.
No, I mean it's the only race you know that I know of, and I'm sure there's others out there, but it's really the only race that anyone and everyone has to qualify, depending on, you know, their age and gender, and they have to qualify in time to even get you know, to get into the race. I mean, so these people are, you know, even from the person who finishes first to the person who finishes last, have, you know, almost earned the rights to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that just sets it apart for me, at least, and I know for a lot of runners it sets it apart for, you know, from many of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. And I have to, you know, I know the day after the race, I saw something that you had posted on your Facebook about,
yeah,
you posted a picture of,
yeah,
you had gone running, and I know you had urged people to go running after that.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the scene after that. Obviously, I mean, but what was the feeling like the day after?
I mean, it was kind of somber. I mean, you know, I went for 4 miles, but I ran, you know, by all the military and armed guards that were kind of congregating in the Boston Common. And then ran pretty much to Ballston Street, which is where the race finished. And, you know, there was media and people just taking pictures, and it was kind of quiet and almost silent. I mean, there was, you know, still glasses and food on tables at restaurants that had just been left there. But everyone who was kind of there was taking their pictures, and I overheard people talking about how, you know, it was a sad day, but you know, they just felt like it was just going to make them more determined and more committed to come back and prove to these terrorists that, you know, nothing was going to stop the running community from coming back together and making next year and the year after and maybe, you know, the next 10 years the biggest and best Boston Marathons yet.
You guys are going to be back next year.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I, you know, like I said, I do a running group here in Jacksonville. I had 20 people this year, and those same 20 people have they've pretty much said that they want to go back next year to, you know, finish the job, the three that didn't finish, and then the other ones just want to go and support the city. and then I've had numerous emails and kind of people contacting me on Facebook saying that after that they just want to qualify and do the same thing.
Yeah.
So if anything, I mean, I know there's always going to be those few people that, you know, are scared, which, you know, I'm not doubting that they shouldn't be, but, you know, I think the majority of people, this is just going to make the majority of people
make them more motivated.
More motivated and ready to get back.
We just have literally a few seconds left, but I know that you guys are doing something for Boston. Tell us real quick about that. What Personal Running Solutions?
Yeah, we're going to do a group run here in Jacksonville next Thursday. But we are we've developed a shirt that's pretty much on the front says "Run United for Boston," and then a quote that I saw on one of the blogs. I forget where it was from, but it said, we don't run away, we run. And we're selling those for $25, and all the monies are going to the one fund in Boston that the mayor developed these last few days.
That's great. We do. I'm sorry. We have to get going here, Paul.
Yeah.
Personal Running Solutions in Jacksonville, Florida. Check those shirts out. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
Thanks, buddy. Yep.
All right.
You're welcome.
Good night. All right.
Bye.
And that's it for Sarcastic News tonight, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Right now, we actually we've got reports that they're looking for somebody at MIT right now, so hopefully they capture him. Thank you so much for joining us right here on the Sarcastic News Show. Fantastic show. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good one.
See, I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby Jean.